Now, is there a difference between a Sunday evening smile and a Sunday morning smile? That's the Sunday evening smile. I like it. I'm going to ask for your help here tonight. I want you to open your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Matthew, starting at verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. And you all are going to help me read this. And we're going to read together Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I want you to, so that you can kind of have the whole thing in your mind as we then work our way through the sermon. You ready? Here we go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy. Slide. Well, maybe I don't need to continue. But I'm going to make you wait in eager anticipation for those brownies that Velma brought. So I'd like to look at these verses. This is one of my favorite passages, because I think it's a passage of hope, a passage of comfort. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now who is Christ speaking to here? I think he's speaking to the believer. I think he's speaking to us. Right here tonight. I think he's speaking to our brothers and sisters who, for whatever reason, can't be here with us tonight. I think he's speaking to men and women who have been our brothers and sisters, and for whatever reason are no longer in our midst. I think he's speaking to people that don't know him, but are seeking the truth, seeking rest and comfort. I think he's speaking to the people of the world who don't know him and don't have the desire to know him. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. We labor. Everyone alive labors. And we labor with a number of things. We labor against temptation. Some more successfully than others. But we're all tempted. We all have that burden to bear. That burden of temptation. We strive for righteousness. We strive for perfection in our lives. We strive for accomplishment of God's will in our lives. This is a labor. We labor against the attitudes of the world. Attitudes that might say things like, lie a little, dig a pit for your neighbor, cheat a little, take advantage of another, speak harshly, speak rudely. These are things we labor against, attitudes of the world. We have burdens. We're laden with burdens. Some of us have a burden of poor health. Some of us have burdens of responsibilities in our lives. Responsibilities to our families, responsibility to our church, responsibilities in our jobs. How many of you get to the end of the day and say, well, I finished everything and I've still got plenty of time left and now what am I going to do? I think most of us, if we could ask for one wish, we'd ask for about a 48-hour day so that we can maybe get a few more things accomplished. We have burdens. Another burden we have is apathy, indifference, lethargy, discouragement. Sometimes I sit and I think, well, boy, there are a number of things that I really need to be at. I need to get to work on a couple of these things. And I just don't feel like it. How many times do you feel that? That's a burden. We labor under these burdens. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He can be our reprieve from these burdens and these labors. I don't think as a general rule he adds hours to the day. We've seen it a couple of times in the scriptures. But he can make us more productive. He can give us the encouragement and the strength to go on and accomplish something when we'd really just rather sit back and put our feet up. How does he do that? By reminding us that everything we do, we do to his honor and glory. No matter what it is. We have a song that says, give of your best to the master. Everything we do, if we can have that mindset, whatever it is we're doing it to the glory of God. That can be an encouragement to get up and get at it. He can give us rest by helping us to examine our priorities. What's really important in life? If everything we're doing to His honor and glory, then maybe we need to look at some of the things we're doing and say, does this truly glorify God? And if it doesn't, maybe we can gain a few hours in the day by putting that aside and doing something else. Sometimes our discouragement comes because we're not content. There's a difference, I think, between contentment and lethargy. Contentment doesn't necessarily tell you sit back and put your feet up and relax. Contentment tells you don't be envious of what somebody else has and become bitter. Don't be prideful of what you do have and sit back and rest on your laurels. But rather, be content with the lot in life that the Lord has given you. And then make the best of what He has given you. He's given each of us talents. There's not one of you here that doesn't have some God-given talent. And if everything we do to His honor and glory, then that talent can be used to His honor and glory. Not in a prideful way, not in order to make others envious, but rather as an encouragement to others. Well, I can't sing like that, but maybe I can do something else. Maybe I can noodle around on the guitar while somebody else sings. If all I do is sit back and wish, boy, I wish I could sing like that. That's really envy. That's not necessarily a good thing. How else does the Lord give us rest? He gives us guidance, the guidance of His Holy Spirit. By the guidance of His Holy Spirit, He can lift those burdens that we have, that burden of temptation. His Holy Spirit can encourage us to say, no, I'm not going to do that. In and of ourselves, we have no power. But God is all powerful, and He gives us that gift of His Holy Spirit. When we're apathetic, when we just don't feel like doing something, we can say, Lord, give me encouragement. Lift me up. Boost my spirits. Remind me of the wonderful blessings that I've received. And now encourage me to go out and do something that will bring honor and glory to Your holy name. Let's look in the Gospel of John, in the 6th chapter. Chapter 6 of John, verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it was written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you Moses. No, I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The true bread of heaven is Christ. It's not coincidental that when we partake of the sacrament, that we reach out and we take a piece of bread, a symbol of that Son who was sent to this earth for us. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's a terrific encouragement. That's a terrific encouragement that we won't ever hunger or thirst if we have Christ. We won't ever feel a spiritual void in our hearts if we're willing to reach out and take that bread of Christ and allow it to enter into our souls. He will give us rest. Take my yoke upon you. I had a problem with this down in Mexico. I was using this verse, and my Spanish wasn't very good. It's not great now, but it wasn't nearly as good then as it was now. And I couldn't explain to them what a yoke was. I think actually it was the verse, be not unequally yoked. And I tried to draw pictures, and my artwork is not any better than my Spanish. And so I'm not sure that I ever really got through to them. But I think we've probably all seen a yoke if you've ever been to a museum, particularly here in the Midwest where you see a lot of pioneer stuff. You'll usually see a yoke, and it'll be a beam, and it'll probably be, 6 or 8 feet long, and it'll probably be a 8 by 8 inch beam of wood with a couple of cutouts that sets down over the necks of the oxen. They're big, and they're heavy. But what does the yoke do? It takes two creatures that normally would be wandering off in divergent paths, and it binds them together so that they're walking the same path and they're pulling together, and the strength of the sum of the two is greater than the individual strengths because they're pulling together. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. How do we do that? How do we do that? Let's look at 3 Nephi chapter 5. Third Nephi 5, starting at verse 40. This is found on page 634 of the Book of Mormon. Third Nephi 5, 40. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. How do we bind ourselves together with Christ? We do it in baptism. We make a covenant. We make a promise, a contract with Christ, that we will take upon ourselves His name, and that we will make that promise to follow Him for the remainder of our days. Become as a little child, submissive, willing to accept His burden, willing to take the foundation that He gives us, the foundation of His Word, and build our lives on that solid foundation. To take His yoke upon us. So that we're pulling together each one of us, bound together with Christ, pulling together. And in that bond, there's strength. There's power. And there's consolation in knowing that you're never alone because you're bound together with Christ in His yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It's really of no value it's even wrong to baptize someone when they don't have any understanding of what they're doing. That's why we don't baptize babies, because they have no concept of repentance, because they don't have any concept of sin. That's why we don't go over to Africa and just allow the people to line up and be baptized. And this is a situation that they have to deal with. That they have to ensure that each candidate for baptism, each person that says, "Yes, I want to be baptized," that each person has an understanding of what that really means. And of course, this is complicated because of language barriers. Each one needs to be taught. Each one needs to learn of Him. We have a wonderful Sunday school program where our little ones learn from the day they're born about Jesus Christ. We have Bible school. We have youth camp. We have retreats. The bulk of our services are taken up with preaching, of learning about Christ. And none of us ever gets to the point where we don't need to learn anymore about Jesus Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I was thinking about this today, the example that Christ set. He was completely without personal will. Everything he did because it was a commandment of his Father in heaven. And he says this over and over. He was totally submissive to his Father. He set that example for us. I am meek and lowly in heart. Alma chapter 10, verse 27. It's found on page 351. Alma chapter 10, verse 27. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. But that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on His holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. This is another way that Christ gives us rest, that He relieves us of the burdens and the labors of this life, is that He hears and answers prayers. Watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. That's how we deal with temptation. Not with our own personal will. Not with any kind of strength that we can muster up in our minds. But with the power of that Holy Spirit. and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. That's a pretty heavy list. That's a list that we could probably write on a little piece of paper and carry in our pocket. Take it out and look at it a couple times a day. Humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long-suffering. These are things that are going to relieve us of a lot of burdens in this life. They're going to relieve us of those burdens of pride and envy and self-will. They're going to relieve us of the burdens of temptation. Having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life. Having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at that last day and enter into his rest. And that's what it's all about. The philosophers muse eon upon eon about the meaning of life, and it's just so simple that they miss it. It's nothing more difficult than preparing to meet God. Ye shall find rest to your souls. Eternal rest. A promise that is incomprehensible, but yet real and achievable by each and every one of us. For my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. I expect the oxen don't much care for having that big heavy yoke put on their necks. Because they not only have to carry that around, they've got to pull whatever is attached to it. And so Christ starts by giving us this picture of take my yoke upon you. And immediately your mental picture is of a huge weight laid on your shoulders, and the necessity to pull a heavy load. And then he turns around and he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Because what is it? It's that beautiful bond with Jesus Christ that we develop when we enter in the water of baptism and when we endure every day to the ends of our lives. And what is his burden? What does he ask us to carry? What does he ask us to carry? His name. Not a heavy burden. His burden is light. He said, carry my name. Carry my name to your family. Carry my name to your next door neighbor. Carry my name to your acquaintances. Carry my name to the ends of the earth. His burden is light. We carry the good news of eternal life. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look in the third chapter of Mosiah. Mosiah Hosea chapter 3. I'm going to begin at verse 8. This is found on page 224 of the Book of Mormon. And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, that you have taken Christ's yoke upon you, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. What a lovely thing. What a lovely thing to be called a child of Christ. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and daughters. The love of a parent for a child is unlike the love that is shared by any other people, because it's a love for your own flesh and blood. And how beautiful to know that Christ has that kind of love for us, that we can be called his sons and daughters. And under this head, ye are made free. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. And there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. Christ says, anyone that tries to enter in by any other way other than the gate is a thief. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the ends of your life. And it shall come to pass that whoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. The promise comes to us many, many ways throughout the scriptures, but the promise is always the same. The promise is always the same. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God bless you each. Jim, would you come forward to dismiss us when we're through? Okay.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this day and the close of this service, we wish to give you thanks for both, for the words that we've been admonished with this evening, and help us take them truly to ourselves and pay heed to them, that we would not look at ourselves in such a way to become discouraged and downcast, but rather to look at our actions and the deeds and the time and the ways that we spend our time and determine whether we're truly serving you or serving another. And if it be that we find ourselves doing those things which are contrary to thy will, that we would have the courage to make those changes, that we would become truly thy children, walking in that path of righteousness and not bearing the load alone, but having you in the yoke beside us. Bless those that have been mentioned this day and those who have been administered to, that you would raise them up and strengthen them, both spiritually and physically. And for those that, for whatever reason, have withdrawn from our midst and desire not to be found in a place of worship, I pray that you would touch their hearts with an understanding of what thy will is and the things that they must do in order to become acceptable before thee. And help us to receive them with open arms, that we truly have a forgiving heart. And I ask these favors in Christ's name, amen.